Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. The NBA draft has been moved back a month, and a recent mock draft has the Warriors making an interesting pick at number two. I'll get to all of that and more on today's show.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
If I'm Bob Myers and Steve Kerr, I am watching closely what Nikola Jokic is doing to the Clippers in these playoffs right now. The Denver Nuggets coming back down from a 3-1 deficit against the Clippers in their second round series to even up the series 3-3. They force a game 7, and it's because of what Jokic has done specifically on the perimeter, and the Clippers have no answer for Jokic. The Clippers, the quote-unquote deepest team in the league, this team that has wings in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who, and we know in today's NBA, it is dominated by wing players, dominated by perimeter ball handlers, guys like Kawhi Leonard, who led the Raptors to the championship last year. He has no answer for what Nikola Jokic, the 7-foot center, is doing to him and to the rest of his team. And that was never more evident than in that game 6 when Denver rallied back from, I think it was 19 points down, to come back and win that game. I mean, the Clippers threw Montrezl Harrell at him. Montrezl Harrell couldn't keep up with him on the perimeter. They tried putting Paul George on him. Jokic got the switch, took Paul George into the post. When Jokic has his floater going, when he has that touch on his shot, he is now, Jokic has always been the best passing big man in the league, and is probably the best passing big man the NBA has ever seen. But he has now recently found this extra gear of, hey, I can take over these games now. And he is regularly scoring 20-plus, 30-plus points with all the assists, with all the rebounds, with this incredible plus-minus that he has always had. And the Clippers just don't have an answer for him. And I know that the Clippers are deep, and I know that they have Kawhi Leonard, I know that they have Paul George, I know that they're coached by Doc Rivers, but when your center is Zubac, who is a plodding 7-footer who can't get out onto the perimeter, and Montrezl Harrell, who also, you know, his straight line speed, but struggles to switch and guard out there elite players, elite shooters. And Jokic at his position is an elite shooter, an elite three-point shooter. You can't, he is eating those guys alive. He is, when they close out strong, he takes them off the dribble. He's got better foot speed than those guys. He's not a fast player, but he has better footwork than those guys, and that's enough. And then when they try Kawhi Leonard or when they try Paul George on him, he is just bigger than those guys. There's not much that they can do when his shot is going, when his stroke is going the way it is. And right now, in these last three games, it's been like that. In these playoffs, it has been like that. When Jokic realizes he could be the best player on the floor, the Nuggets are really good. And they present a lot of problems, not just for the Clippers, but for every team in the league. Because Jokic is that special. I've thought for a couple of years now that they are maybe that after the Warriors kind of changed the game with what they were doing from the three-point line, Denver was next up because of what they can do with their big men, specifically with Jokic. When you have a guy in the middle of your offense who can be your offense, who can facilitate everything on the floor. And because he's 7 feet tall, he could see everything and has this passing touch and acumen to just find his teammates wherever they need him to find them. If he's out there on the perimeter, he's one of the best in the league at just seeing over the defense and getting guys who are cutting to the basket wide open shots under the rim. And when he's under the basket, well, he's one of the best in the league at posting up and kicking out. And then when he's on the perimeter now, he's got the willingness to shoot, and he's got the touch to make the shots. He's really good. And so I will go back to what I said before. If you're Bob Myers, you are paying attention to what's happening right now. Even if the Nuggets can't beat the Clippers, they are not the better team here. I think they're deeper than the Clippers. But in a vacuum, the Clippers probably have easily have the better player. You could argue that on a given night, Paul George would be better than Nikola Jokic, but with the way Jokic has been playing and the way that Paul George typically hasn't played in the playoffs, I would take Jokic in a playoff series over Paul George. But Jamal Murray is hit or miss. You know, the rest of these guys, like, what do you really want? What do you expect out of Michael Porter Jr.? Paul Millsap has aged out. This is all Nikola Jokic. And so if you're Bob Myers and you're Steve Kerr and you want to go back into title contention next year, they are paying attention to what's happening there. You can't get a plodding seven-footer to keep up with Jokic. You need to find somebody who can stay out there on the perimeter and present some sort of size with him and also have enough athleticism to bother him and to stick with him and to potentially get switched on to other players, because Denver likes to switch Jokic's defender a lot. And so Draymond Green is great for that. I think Draymond Green could be huge in guarding Nikola Jokic if and when the Warriors play them in a playoff series. But he's not going to be enough. Draymond Green is undersized. Jokic is huge. If he continues to play like this, he can really give Draymond Green some problems. We've seen bigger centers give Draymond Green problems. They don't have Kevin Durant to throw at him. So, who do you go get? I don't think that the answer is James Wiseman in the draft. He's big, but he's not ever shown the ability to switch on the perimeter, and he's 19 years old, and he's just young. It's nothing against him, but he's just young. Jokic will eat him alive. He's not the answer there. Is Marquese Chriss the answer there? Possibly. I think he's long, but I don't think he's big enough to play Jokic in the post, so Jokic could post him up. What happens to Kevon Looney? I think actually Kevon Looney is a good matchup. He has the size and the foot speed to stick with Jokic. But the question with Looney is, can he stay healthy enough? Especially when you get to a playoff situation. Can he go through a regular season and be healthy in the postseason? That's a real question. That's not just based on this last year, but it's based on Looney's history. You've got Draymond Green. Yeah, sure. But I do think that the Warriors are going to have to address the center position, and they're going to have to do it in a meaningful way. And, you know, last week, Connor Letourneau and I talked about adding guys like Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, and I think those would be helpful, but Marc Gasol is aging. I still think he'd be a home run player for them at the mid-level exception, but, you know, he's big enough and I think he's smart enough that he would present Jokic some problems. Nobody's stopping Jokic right now, okay? There's not a player in this league right now that's going to stop him, all right? And you can't just go find Bam Adebayo on the street anymore. I mean, those players are so rare. But if you can get a Marc Gasol, and you can, you know, use or even a Serge Ibaka, somebody with size, and you combine that with a rotation with Kevon Looney and Marquese Chriss and maybe somebody else, I mean, that's your best chance. But just as much as you've got to deal with guys like LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard and James Harden and Anthony Davis, you've got to deal with Nikola Jokic, and that's being proven right now. Coming up next, I break down a surprise pick in a recent NBA mock draft, but first, let's talk about Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I've had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan if medication is appropriate. Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. That's the best part. And the whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be a tough thing to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. Again, that's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. Later this week, I will be breaking down Denny Avia as a potential draft prospect for the Warriors at number 2. But speaking of Avia, in a mock draft he published Monday, the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor predicted that the Warriors would take the Israeli forward with the number 2 pick in the draft. In his mock, the Timberwolves take Anthony Edwards at number 1, and the Warriors pass up both LaMelo Ball and James Wiseman to take Denny Avia. Now, I thought that this was a really smart prediction by O'Connor, who, by the way, is one of the few national guys, maybe the only one, not just automatically slotting James Wiseman to Golden State at number 2. I think there's too many guys out there that are just saying, you know what, the Warriors have Andrew Wiggins, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry. Just give them the best center in the draft, and that's Wiseman, according to most people. And I just think that's a lazy mock draft, and so many of these mock drafts are going to be wrong because the Warriors are not going to draft James Wiseman there at number two. So if Anthony Edwards is off the board, and there's some scuttle that Minnesota might take LaMelo at number one over Anthony Edwards, I think that that's more of Minnesota trying to position themselves as a trade partner. The general consensus is that more teams would be willing to trade up for LaMelo Ball rather than trade up for Anthony Edwards. So for the Timberwolves, I think it makes sense to kind of put that smoke out there saying, hey, we're really interested in LaMelo, and just try to get a team like Charlotte or New York or the Pistons or whoever would want to trade up for LaMelo to move up to number one. But if they do indeed end up making the pick, it probably is going to be Anthony Edwards there with the first pick. And so if he's on the board, I think the Warriors take him at number two. But if he's off the board, then Denny Avdija makes a lot of sense. And I said this on the Warriors HQ YouTube show that I do with my colleague Dieter Kurtenbach for the San Jose Mercury News. I said this a couple weeks ago. I know that the consensus top three right now is Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, and James Wiseman. I don't understand why Denny Avdija isn't in this consensus top four. He is a flawed prospect. I think that you've got questions about his lateral quickness and his upside defensively and certainly his shooting, because the numbers aren't there. But all of these guys have flaws. Anthony Edwards has major flaws defensively, flaws I think he will overcome at the NBA level in the right system, and that's why I like him for the Warriors. But in another system, he might not overcome those without the right coaching. LaMelo Ball has huge concerns with just basically everything that he does on offense other than passing. Like, he gets to the rim well enough, but he doesn't finish at a high rate whatsoever. He can't really shoot. He's got a funky form. And defensively, there are major concerns with him, too. And with Wiseman, yeah, he's a seven-footer, and you might think that he has a high floor, but there's, again, major concerns about his ball skills. He takes threes. He doesn't make threes. He's not a great passer at that position. I think that's extremely important in today's NBA. And again, like he's got one less year of basketball development having sat out last season from Memphis. So all these guys, though they have strengths, have major red flags. And Denny isn't without those red flags, but you look at what he does well. And just, you know, he was the MVP of that league. He was very productive, especially at his position, and for a top team in Maccabi Tel Aviv. And so you look at the production there and what he can do with the ball in his hands. He is a next-level passer at that forward spot. You like his ability to put the ball on the floor. He's got a quick first step. He finishes with strength. His frame is filling out. You love the growth in his game from last season to this season. I mean, this is a guy who played professionally. I don't think he's going to be Luka Doncic, but guys recently with that track record of being productive at a professional level have been pretty good, okay? And you might say LaMelo Ball has been productive at a professional level, but he's only played at a professional level. He hasn't been very productive, okay? There's not a huge sample there with LaMelo Ball, something that I've talked about in the past. Like, I've got real questions about him. So with Denny, he's got that track record, and I think he has the upside too, because if that shot comes along, and by the way, the stroke looks good. Like, watch the videos. Like, every draft analyst says, like, the form is good. He just needs it to go in. And if you believe in the work ethic and you believe in that going in, and by the way, I do believe in the work ethic. I'll point, like, that progress from last season to this season for him was enough to believe that there is something behind the scenes with Denny, that he is working behind the scenes. And to me, that's meaningful. And if I'm a team looking to draft him, that's important, right? Because I know he's going to try to put that work in. So I have reported here in the past that don't be surprised if Avdija goes number two, because the Warriors do like him. They have scouted him in person a couple of times, and Bob Myers has seen him in person at least once. And that's going to be important, especially when you don't have the ability to see all these guys in person, work them out individually at your own team facility. So if Edwards is off the board and Denny is there at two, I don't think it's an automatic trade back. I don't think you're dealing with LaMelo or Wiseman. I think Denny is very much an option there for Golden State. I think if that he can come in right away, play a forward spot for you. I could see him facilitating out of the post a little bit, which we know Steve Kerr likes to do, running some offense from the perimeter in much of an Andre Iguodala type role. Okay, and if that jump shot ever comes along and if it hits, then you've got an all-star caliber player. But if he does, if it doesn't hit, I still think you have a high-level role player, which is pretty good considering where this draft is and sort of the strengths of this draft. And the Warriors, I think, would prefer to draft a wing. He is definitely a wing. You could see him playing the three or the four. Again, I just think he would get minutes right away. He could be productive right away. It would give the Warriors something that they need. Size on the perimeter, playmaking in general, with a player who has upside to potentially make multiple All-Star games. I'll get to some news next, but first, let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions, but the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared, and that's why I always have a box of Built Bars on hand. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy, and it fills me up while I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. I'm telling you guys, I love this product. I've ordered now probably half a dozen boxes of Built Bars for myself, my friends, family. Everybody I know loves them. Everybody I give them to loves them. If you need a protein bar, if you're a protein bar person, if you need a snack on the go, just order a box of Built Bars. You're not going to be disappointed. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. If you haven't already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. The NBA draft has been postponed again, this time being pushed back from October 16th to a potential date of November 18th. No doubt, though, at the time of me recording this, that's not been decided, but that's the tentative date that's out there, November 18th. This should provide enough time for the league to put together a virtual draft combine. And I think for the Warriors, it gives them now 8 months to prepare for this draft. And that's a very long time. But you take that 8 months and compare that to what other teams... I mean, the last possible date for the season was October 12th. And if that draft is going to be on October 16th, some teams were only going to have four days, a week, in between the end of their season and the draft. Like, that's not a lot of time. And the NBA, moreover, is trying to get their finances in order and do all these things. And they figure, you know what, a month between now and the draft, like that's not going to be enough time to really figure out, okay, what did we generate revenue-wise from the bubble? How is this going to impact the salary cap and all these things? So I think even though the Warriors probably don't want to wait that much longer to make this pick, they will be better off, as will every other team, to say, you know what, we have a better idea of what the salary cap is going to be, so we should know whether or not we want to trade back, trade up, etc., do this, do that. What they want to do in free agency, which would presumably start a few days later after the draft, maybe November 20th, 21st, something like that. So that's now what we're looking at, Warriors fans. If you expected the draft on October 16th, nope. Warriors are going to have to wait about a month longer to make that number two pick, possibly to November 18th with free agency starting shortly after. In other news, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Giannis Antetokounmpo sat down with Bucks co-owner Mark Lazary to discuss the future of the franchise, with Lazary agreeing to spend into the luxury tax, which he didn't do last year. So that was the big Malcolm Brogdon fiasco, where they didn't match Brogdon's salary. He goes to Indiana. They end up signing Wesley Matthews and Kyle Korver to try to replace him. Wesley Matthews was okay in the playoffs. Kyle Korver was very hit or miss, but they certainly could have used a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. And you know that Giannis was looking at that. So he sits down with the owner and talks with him about what they need to do in order to build a championship caliber roster around Giannis, who is expected to win his second straight MVP award this season. But the Bucks, they were eliminated in five games to the Heat in the second round, which is obviously disappointing. And with Giannis's contract set to expire in 2021, this is all setting up for one last try by the Bucks to try to keep Giannis in Milwaukee. They need to build a championship caliber roster around him. They really need to get to the NBA Finals, if not win the NBA Finals next season, if Giannis is going to stick around. If not, he could just become a free agent. But I think the key for the Warriors right now is that if these talks are productive and positive between Giannis and ownership, then there's less of a chance of him demanding a trade. And as we covered last week about how it is the Warriors would try to get Giannis, it would have to be via a trade. And the only way that the Bucks would trade Giannis is if he straight up holds out and demands a trade from the Bucks. And anything short of that, then he's probably becoming a free agent in 2021, which would all but eliminate Golden State's chances of getting him, which would mean that this is basically the core moving forward in lieu of some other, you know, big blockbuster deal. That's it for today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to our sponsors, Roman and Built Bar, for today's show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WT Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening and stay safe.